This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Attorney General Merrick Garland appoints Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss as special counsel to investigate Hunter Biden's business dealings.
This appointment confirms my commitment to provide Mr. Weiss all the resources he requests.
CBS's Catherine Herridge with more on the investigation of President Biden's son.
It's an extraordinary development considering where the two parties were 2 weeks ago to wrap up this years-long case, now to the appointment of a special counsel that will have these broad authorities, most importantly, to continue this ongoing investigation.
The federal judge overseeing the election conspiracy case against former President Trump has imposed limits on what evidence can be released to the public. Law professor Lori Levinson.
The judge did decide with the government that things like grand jury materials and other sensitive information would have to remain confidential, or at least only used by a limited number of the defense team.
The death toll from the wildfires in Maui has risen to 55, and many more remain missing. This resident describes how the fire spread in his neighborhood.
Well, the gas tanks blew up, so everybody had to back out. The gas tanks going off, and that set the next house on fire.
Red Cross volunteers are pitching in.
The Red Cross of Northern California has assigned nearly two dozen people to Hawaii to help out with the worst natural disaster in that state's history.
This is going to be a huge operation. It's going to go on for a while.
Red Cross spokesperson Jenny Arrieta says their number one objective is providing shelter.
So we have thousands of people that have been displaced. We also have a lot of tourists that have been displaced or trying to get back home. So our priority is making sure those people have a safe place to stay.
Evacuation centers are being set up at schools, churches, and convention centers. Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Francisco.
The second and third days of school were canceled in Louisville, Kentucky after a disastrous overhaul of the transportation system. Some kids didn't get home until 10 p.m. on opening day. Marty Polio is the Louisville school superintendent.
Quite candidly, we should have anticipated those problems better than what we did, and we did not do that. And once again, I say that's on me.
The school system made changes because of a shortage of bus drivers. An environmental disaster may have been averted off the coast of Yemen.
The UN says more than a million barrels of oil have been transferred from an aging tanker off the coast of Yemen. An international team was part of the effort to siphon off the oil, which is now on another tanker. For years, experts have warned about a possible spill or even an explosion.
CBS's Cammie McCormick. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 100 points. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
EQ presents.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Barron County officials said the Marathon County Bomb Squad was called in to get rid of dynamite found near Rice Lake on Wednesday. The Sheriff's Department said an outbuilding had to be destroyed as well due to it containing materials that could easily catch on fire or explode. According to a release, the property owners had no idea there was dynamite in the outbuilding. A Cumberland man was sentenced to 4 years of probation for stealing rebate checks while he worked as a mail carrier. Joshua Copas is accused of swiping 30 Menards rebate checks totaling $4,500 from people on his route. Copas pleaded guilty to mail theft by a postal employee and will have to pay all of the money back. A Neillsville man was sentenced to prison for killing a highway worker while he was driving drunk. Ray Neumuller will spend 10 years in prison for killing Russell Opelt and seriously injuring David Murphy while they were working to remove a tree in the road near Greenwood in 2021. Neumuller pleaded guilty to the charges of homicide and causing injury by intoxicated use of a vehicle back in April. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
If the sound of a chainsaw is music to your ears, here's your chance to watch carvers turn 8-foot logs into one-of-a-kind works of art in Eau Claire. The U.S. Open Chainsaw Championship is like the Olympics, but for log carvers. It's being hosted at the Wisconsin Logging Museum as an ode to the Chippewa Valley logging industry. More than 90 years ago, the most lumber compared to anywhere else came out of this area. Thousands of sculptors from around the world will compete. The U.S. Open runs through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Right to the front lines. A big day today, Friday. This morning in Washington, D.C., Judge Tanya Chutkan held a hearing on the government's motion for protective order against Trump, shooting his mouth off. Lasts about an hour and 40 minutes. She was in control, and I think she did the right thing. She didn't give the government everything he wanted. She didn't give Trump everything he wanted, but she really circumscribed Trump. Well, here's what's happened. Protective order issues. She said, I will protect Mr. Trump's rights as a criminal defendant, but his right to free speech is not absolute. Now, what does that mean? Let me give you a couple of examples. You have a right to freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom of the right to assemble and petition, all of that. But it's not, especially the right to free speech, is not absolute. If you say, I am going to kill the president of the United States, you've committed a felony, you will be arrested. If you say, I'm going to kill another office holder, congressman, senator, governor, you will be arrested. You can't say that. You can't say that. That's an example. If you're a criminal defendant, you can't say, I'm going to kill the judge, I'm going to kill a juror, I'm going to kill a witness. You can't say that. You will be arrested. You should be arrested. A lot of these people are quite slippery and sly, and Trump is the slipperiest and slyest of them all. So somebody will send a death threat to an office holder. This is Republicans doing this now and saying somebody should do this, or I'm afraid somebody will do this to you. I wouldn't, but I'm afraid somebody will. And they think that's oblique and so forth. The Republican Party has interjected threats and violence into our politics. Now, Trump's lawyer tried to be quite weaselly and sly. What did he say? Lauro, it's his name. He said, well, one of the things he said is he cannot disclose any evidence that was in witness transcripts, grand jury information, anything of that nature, because it could subject witnesses to threats. So the sly Lauro, sly as a fox he thought, said, well, what happens if Trump has an independent recollection of that kind of stuff apart from the grand jury testimony. In other words, what if Trump just starts to name witnesses he like killed? And the judge looked at him and said, that doesn't cut it. Anything he does that's oblique is a violation of this protective order. And then he said, honest to Pete, he goes, well, he's a candidate for president. Say he debates Mike Pence, his vice president. And in the course of it, he says something that is has been revealed in the grand jury, but it's something he had a discussion with Pence about, and basically he fingers Pence. He already did finger Pence. How do you think the gallows got built on January 6th? Why do you think the rabble went through the crowd shouting, hang Mike Pence? You think that gallows got built that morning? You really think so? I don't care who the carpenters were. They didn't build the gallows that morning. That was built in advance. And the judge looked at him and she said, don't even try it. Don't pull that. Anything he discloses that was in the grand jury testimony is a violation of this protective order. Now, what does she do when Trump does violate it? Because he has said out on the campaign trail, nobody is going to rein me in on speaking about this fake indictment, this false indictment, whatever he wants to say. And he's already threatened to violate it. What if he continues to threaten Jack Smith? What if he threatens the judge, Judge Tanya Chutkan? What if he threatens a witness without mentioning the grand jury, which would be an oblique way of disobeying her order? What are her remedies available to shut him up? Now, there are three stages of criminal prosecution that occur to me, and let me just outline them. One might be just one individual defendant who's not famous and nobody knows about it. If he did any of this, he'd be in jail right now until the day of the trial. Right now. The second would be intermediate fame. The mafia, drug cartels, ISIS, international gangs, that kind of thing. More prominent, they would be in jail right now. If one of them were let out on bail, and frequently they're not let out on bail, terrorists are not let out on bail. The drug cartels are not let out on bail. The mafia, it was a mixed bag. But if they tried anything like this, they'd be in jail. But what do you do about a guy who was president of the United States, right now is the front runner in a Republican primary, not because he's any good, but because the rest of them are so bad. I mean, so bad. Ron DeSantis is the only viable opponent. He is absolutely tone deaf, politically tone deaf about everything. We're going to talk about that in a bit. Trump could be the nominee. What do you do to rein him in? Well, I think Tanya Chutkan is a pretty tough cookie. I think she is a very good judge, very smart, very resolute, and she was very even. The government filed some things. They wanted them under seal, and she said, no, this particular stuff doesn't need to be under seal. And, you do have some First Amendment rights. You can say you think this is an unjust indictment. But you are not free to threaten or attack witnesses. That you're not free to do. Now, he's already been doing it to Jack Smith. In New York, to Alvin Bragg, the prosecutor, and to the judge, he attacked them and their wives. And with Smith, he attacked his wife as well. And in New York, he attacked the daughter of the judge. I think if he does that with Tanya Chutkan, what her remedy is this, is she calls them in, makes them come in, and she can issue a bench warrant for him if he doesn't show up, and she can order him into custody. Maybe she'll give him one more warning. just say, Mr. Trump, you have violated this order. I fine you $5,000 a day, $10,000 a day until you cure it, if you ever do it again. But if you do it again, I will issue a bench warrant for you, and I will take you in to custody. Now, he will do everything in his power to disobey her. But I think, unlike a lot of other judges, there was a judge, I don't know if you remember, but Roger Stone, and I forget the name of the judge, she was a good judge. But Roger Stone on social media put out her picture with crosshairs over it. A lot of lawyers, including myself, said that that was contemptuous to the point of a clear threat, and Stone should have been taken into custody and not given any more bail and made to stay in jail until his trial. She didn't do that. I think that's a mistake. I think these people, when they pull this kind of stuff, they have to be drawn up very quick. Now, it is more difficult politically, and this is courtesy of Mercedes Cannon down in Mar-a-Lago, who delayed the documents case long enough for Trump to declare for president. And who's going to beat him? Nikki Haley? What? Pence? Are you kidding me? DeSantis? Christie? And that puts political pressure on. We're going to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind, eh, Gene?
Hi. Thank you, Matt. Great show. Great subject matter. I have a question regarding the victims of this crime and the continuous perpetuation of pain and anguish on the people of the United States of America who have witnessed this crime, who have been subjected to this crime, whose tax dollars have been utilized in this crime. What about the victims, including many of us who supported this president, knowing the criminality of the former president? Why are we not being protected from continuous onslaughts of lies and fraud? That's what I'd like to know, Matt, because we're the victims here. He was trying to destroy our democracy, and they continue to do so with the fraud and the lies. What about us who spend sleepless nights knowing what this man did and continues to impact our neighbors, our loved ones, with their lies without the truth? They need to put a stop to this mouthpiece and all of the people that are aiding and abetting in this big crime of the century against the people of the United States. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, excellent call. Thank you for your passion, Gene. And you know, so you're right. In addition to that, you know who I think are some victims? How about Cassidy Hutchinson, who had to sell her house and go into hiding because she has death threats that Trump ginned up? How about Jack Smith, who had to sell his house? He and his wife are basically under guard 24 hours a day, like a witness protection type guard. It cost $2 million as of May. That was the most recent accounting for it. He is ginning up death threats against witnesses. Cassidy Hutchinson is a major witness. Jack Smith is the prosecutor. And they have to have 24-hour protection at taxpayer expense. You're absolutely right. The rest of us are suffering from this, but we're not suffering as much as Cassidy Hutchinson. And she's not the only one. And Mark Meadows is another one. He's flipped. He's a canary. He's singing like a canary, and he's under guard. This is like the mafia. The Republican Party leadership now is like the mafia. There are great ones like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. Take over your party again, guys. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Cut you down, tell them that God's gonna cut you down, tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Showers and storms tonight, some could be on the strong side. We'll see a low around 57. Sunshine and 82 on Saturday. Saturday night, mostly clear, lows around 57. Chance of showers on Sunday, 78.
Right now, it's 84.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll tell you what, I contrast Tanya Chutkan in D.C. to Eileen Mercedes Cannon, the Mar-a-Lago case down in Florida. She is doing everything in her power to stall for Trump, to stall the inevitable trial in this case. Because right now, it's theoretically possible, it should be possible, to try that case before the election also, before the November 24 election. In Washington, D.C., Jack Smith has asked for a trial date of January 2nd. And that's very, very reasonable. And Trump will complain and move to extend it. Tanya Chutkan doesn't put up with any baloney. They tried to extend the protective hearing order today, saying that it wasn't convenient for their lawyers. She said, too bad, and she held it. But let me give you some ways that Eileen Mercedes Cannon can serve Trump's interests, and the average layman who's not a lawyer won't realize it. Let me give you a couple of examples. One is Jack Smith asked for permission to use evidence from a grand jury transcript of the grand jury in Washington, D.C. Now, the law is he absolutely has a right to do that. Many judges wouldn't even require a motion. They'd just say, we're going to have some testimony from this or just file it under seal. She disclosed that there was a grand jury testimony in D.C. that was going to be pertinent to the Mar-a-Lago case. She's not supposed to even disclose that. It was filed under seal. She said, you can't file it under seal. What does that mean? Under seal means it's an envelope, says not to be opened without the written approval of the judge. If you just file it, it's a public document and the media has instant access to it. So she's saying you can't file it under seal. You can't file that request under seal. The second thing she then said was, why should I let evidence that was compiled before a Washington, D.C. grand jury? The implicit objection by Trump was really a racial objection. The grand jury in Washington, D.C. is going to reflect its population, whereas the grand jury in Florida, in Mar-a-Lago, would reflect a different demographic. That's why, by the way, he tried to move the venue, the location of the Washington case, to West Virginia. You know what he said? He said it was a more diverse state. You know, this guy, these lawyers with a straight face, they say this stuff. Anyway, so Eileen Mercedes Cannon wants briefing on whether a grand jury testimony in another state or jurisdiction in a federal court can be used in her court. The guy who's last in his class in law school, who's never read a law book, could write that brief. She is delaying this by at least a month. Then she said none of the media can bring electronic devices into her court. Now, time out. There can't be photography of the court or tape recording. That is from the U.S. Supreme Court, and that's been the case for a long time. Okay. But when people go in there with cell phones, and this is the media, and they're told not to take pictures, not to tape it, but this way they can call in to their desks and immediately go out into the hallway and give an interview themselves. You've seen that all the time. You've seen court sketches in federal cases, and then you've seen the court reporter out in the hallway or outside on the steps of the courthouse doing a stand-up. She's trying to shut a lot of that down. She's trying to shut a lot of that down. Now, let me give you some other examples of how she could delay it. If I'm the prosecutor, if I'm Jack Smith, I would say he claims that it was just innocent and inadvertent that he left this stuff lying around with the locks on it. We want to put in evidence that he has ex-employees, hundreds, Y guests, thousands, who are not screened, and we have reason to believe that China, Iran, and Russia got hold of this stuff because we had a spike in the executions, the sniffing out and executions of our undercover agents over there by the Chinese, the Russians, and the Iranians. She's the one who decides what's relevant. I suspect she would say, nah, that's too prejudicial, not relevant. Then they have to go up to the Court of Appeals. That takes months. Now, let me tell you the mother of all obstructions by her that she could do. She goes to a trial. Jack Smith puts on his case. Trump moves for what's called a directed verdict. He moves to have her a judgment of acquittal, saying that's insufficient evidence. If he's smart, or she's smart and wants to help him, she'd say, well, Mr. Trump, put on a few witnesses. He puts on a few witnesses, and before he's done, she stops and she says, I made a decision. There's not enough here. I rule that he's acquitted. If she does that, that is not appealable. If she does that, Trump is acquitted. The Court of Appeals can't overrule it. The U.S. Supreme Court can't overrule it. If she let it go to a jury verdict and the jury came back and convicted him, then the government can, and she tosses it out anyway, the government can appeal that. If it goes to a jury, the jury acquits him, even Jack Smith can't appeal it. I expect that she's going to find a way to enter a judgment of acquittal that can't be appealed. This is a charade. Jack Smith should never have filed it in Florida, should have filed it in D.C., but God bless him. He's doing a great job otherwise. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. You just came on. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. The death toll from wildfires in Maui has risen to 55. Many more remain missing. This Maui resident can't believe the scale of the destruction.
Beyond any tsunamis or any other tropical storms that have come through, just, by 100 times.
Attorney General Merrick Garland has appointed a special counsel to investigate Hunter Biden's business dealings. CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum says this does not bode well for the president's son.
Right now, there is no plea offer on the table. A criminal trial against Hunter Biden, this time for felonies and not misdemeanors, is much more likely than a few weeks ago.
A federal judge overseeing the election conspiracy case against former President Trump is placing limits on the public release of information, while reminding Donald Trump that the First Amendment is not absolute.
What this means is so far, the judge is taking a middle ground.
Law professor Lori Levinson, CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Barron County officials said the Marathon County Bomb Squad was called in to get rid of dynamite found near Rice Lake on Wednesday. The Sheriff's Department said an outbuilding had to be destroyed as well due to it containing materials that could easily catch on fire or explode. According to a release, the property owners had no idea there was dynamite in the outbuilding. A Cumberland man was sentenced to 4 years of probation for stealing rebate checks while he worked as a mail carrier. Joshua Kopis is accused of swiping 30 Menards rebate checks totaling $4,500 from people on his route. Kopis pleaded guilty to mail theft by a postal employee and will have to pay all of the money back. A Neillsville man was sentenced to prison for killing a highway worker while he was driving drunk. Ray Neumuller will spend 10 years in prison for killing Russell Opelt and seriously injuring David Murphy while they were working to remove a tree in the road near Greenwood in 2021. Neumuller pleaded guilty to the charges of homicide and causing injury by intoxicated use of a vehicle back in April. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors.
We bleed green and gold. And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart to heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in. Turn on and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bob?
Well, I've got two thoughts. Mainly, how do you hold Trump accountable for all the violence coming out and everything? We've seen under Trump, we saw gun deaths double. It had been a steady curve all up to about 2015, and then all of a sudden it starts jumping up, the statistics. And just this last 2 years, counting this year, last year, they've doubled the mass murderers going out there. And when they check these guys out, they got a lot of Trump thinking, language, whatever, maybe even using the same words and so forth in a lot of stuff. Can you tie these things to Trump? Is there a way to hold him accountable for all the violence he's created in our society?
Yeah, excellent, excellent question. And the answer is, yeah, in two respects. One, holding him personally responsible when there's a crime committed is very difficult unless there's a greater link than just his shooting his mouth off in general. But the second one is politically. And everybody out there who is a Republican or is an independent and so forth, listen to what Bob just said. At some point, you've got to eradicate violence from your party. It didn't exist before this. In fact, your party was on the side of right back in 1861 with Abraham Lincoln. Get violence out of your party. And, you know, Bob, I want to build on that. Yes, a lot of these people say Trump things. Some of them have Trump stickers. But Trump has also been adopting QAnon language. There's certain code words that QAnon uses, like the storm is coming, or, you know, there's some kind of an acronym with about eight letters in it that, you know, we stand one and all together, that kind of thing. And he says that. One of the things that really concerns me is the rise of racial violence in this society right now because of Trump. And I'll give you two examples. One was down in El Paso. The guy that went into that and killed many, many Latinos, I think it was a Walmart, drove from Fort Worth to El Paso, which is apparently about 12 hours. Apparently, it's a heck of a long drive. And he deliberately wanted to go to a Walmart where there would be a lot of minorities. He said that. Number two, Birmingham, Alabama, just the other day. This black guy who worked for this, for the pier, for the boating line, whatever it is, saw a boat pull in to a dock that it wasn't authorized and another boat coming in. So they tried to contact the owners of the usurping boat. They couldn't do it. So he started to untether it so he could, I guess, move it or tow it down somewhere so the other bigger boat could come in. And he was set on and beaten. He was a black guy by all these white guys, and they were fairly brutal looking guys. Then what happened is there were some passengers on the other boat who were African-American, and they jumped in to defend him. And it was a racial brawl. Now, the police down there have not charged that so far as a hate crime. This misdemeanor assault, and I'm not going to second guess them on that one because it was obviously just over the boat thing. But a statistic that blew me away was when you talked about racial hate crimes up until 3 years ago, I think it was 18, 19, 20, there were zero such hate crimes in Birmingham, Alabama, zero. This year, there are hundreds. And I'm saying this one has not been charged as a hate crime, although it had racial overtones. But think about that. What is it that has changed in 3 years? And Trump's presidency seeped in, lying about attacking our democracy and about our elections, and this relentless, relentless, sneaky code language attacks on minorities. Trump has fostered racial violence. And that, to me, it's not only immoral, it's not only wrong, it's very dangerous. He is dividing society in a way, not just Republican and Democratic, but, you know, when he was talking about the grand jury and the prosecution in Washington, D.C., he went on and on about how filthy he thought Washington, D.C. was, and it was all racially disguised. And he was lying. It's not filthy at all. Washington, D.C. is a great town. Go there on vacation. I've been there many times. It's a beautiful place. It really is a beautiful place. And the people there are beautiful. And he is simply mouthing stereotypes to incite violence. Thanks for calling, Bob. I want to get to the fake electors. Judge Frank Remington in Dane County, very, very fine judge. I had his grandfather. I think it was his grandfather, Frank Remington Sr. for criminal law when I was in law school. Frank Remington, the senior, the elder, was one of the premier criminal law professors in the country. He was also UW Madison's representative of the Big Ten. He's a magnificent teacher. I learned a lot from him. Anyway, his grandson, Frank Remington, just ruled that the civil case against the fake electors for $2.4 million can proceed to trial. The fake electors had brought a motion, said that the plaintiffs, I suppose they said, had no standing, that they couldn't bring this thing. Who were the plaintiffs? The plaintiffs were two Democratic electors. In other words, real electors plus a voter. And they want $2.4 million for the fraud. Frank Remington said that can go forward. Prior to that, one of the things they said, fake electors said, well, the Wisconsin Election Commission looked at this and said there's nothing there. Frank Remington said, yeah, one of them was Bob Spindell. He's a fake elector. One of the fake electors ruled that he hadn't done anything wrong. Okay. Well, Jeffrey Dahmer is, you know, he chop a guy's head off and stick it in the refrigerator. I didn't do anything wrong. What the hell? You know, you don't have the guy who did it opining on whether he did anything wrong. You don't have the guy who did it opining on whether he did anything wrong. But there's a subtext to this that really bothers me. Why is this only a civil case? Why are we not prosecuting the fake electors? The attorney general in Michigan prosecuted the fake electors, and she had more of them than we do. And they've just pled not guilty. They're right in the middle of the rock and roll. Fannie Willis in Fulton County in Atlanta is about to prosecute the fake electors, and she's only a district attorney. She would be like the equivalent of the DA of Milwaukee or Dane County doing it. DA of Dane County could do it, but he ain't going to do it. This has to be our attorney general, Josh Call. Good guy. I know Josh, know his family. Fine guy. But for whatever reason, he has said that he is relying on the feds to do this. And then he says, well, I can't confirm or deny that I wouldn't open an investigation. Well, you know, there's no investigation open right now. To say that I'm not going to confirm or deny if I would do it, okay. But this is August. The debate is in August. The first selection of delegates, Iowa caucuses and others, is January. The convention for the Republicans is in July of next year. That's only 11 months away. And if they pick Trump, so when are you going to go after the fake electors? Josh has brought some other cases and so forth, and there's the impression of activity, but it's not getting done. And there is no excuse to not prosecute them in Wisconsin when they are being prosecuted in Michigan. Michigan and Wisconsin are very similar, really quite similar, not just culturally, but in our laws. And I think we've got to prosecute them. Tony Evers, the governor, came out last week and said he agreed with that. So let's get going here, guys. We're going to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jack?
You're hitting on it. The Republican Party has not advocated prosecution. They've not advocated incarceration. They've not advocated investigating. They've not even just avowed this scheme. And in fact, they barely, if anyone's mentioned it, I haven't heard about it. Anyone that votes for a Republican, how can you possibly trust someone who won't even mention the fact that there were 84 people in their party that were involved in a clear conspiracy, because it only takes two, not 84, to overturn the government of the United States? I mean, this is just an outrage. I'm pretty disgusted with Josh Call. Yes, I voted for him. Not only was he still continues to be better than the other choice would have ever been, but he's got to get, we with it and do something about it. If he doesn't do it, the DA for Dane County should do it. Or, hey, all these guys, including, by the way, Senator Johnson, who admitted being part of this, I bet Johnson will be at that Milwaukee forum. They ought to prepare a whole bunch of arrest warrants and just arrest all these guys when they come for that convention. I think that would be a real good idea.
Excellent call. Excellent call. Thank you very much, Jack. Listen, Jack Schmick can't, the federal prosecutor can't possibly add 84 defendants to the Trump case. What are you kidding me? That would blow it up entirely. He's relying on the state attorneys general. Let's get going. Stephanie of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Stephanie. What's in your mind today?
Hey, another issue that just came up. What is a special counsel on Hunter Biden set up by Merrick Garland? To me, I don't know what that's all about. It seems like a waste of time, you know, just taking Hunter and dragging him through the mud to get it at his dad. It's just a total waste. With that, I'm going to hang up and let you respond, okay?
Yeah, Stephanie, that's a great question. And just so everybody knows, Merrick Garland announced today that he was elevating this fellow Weiss, who's the U.S. attorney in Delaware, from U.S. attorney to special counsel. What does that mean? It means that it's very much harder to fire him, but Biden and Garland aren't firing anybody. I think basically it is a way of simply showing that Weiss was independent all along. I'm not as upset about it as a lot of people in the Democratic Party. They nailed Hunter Biden on two things. Now, remember something. They're the party that showed naked pictures of him, frontally naked pictures, that he was having relations with this woman, and somehow they must have photographed each other and it got leaked. Why do you put naked pictures of a guy, you know, to a committee? It had nothing to do with anything. They're trying to take the heat off of Jared Kushner and Trump. Okay, I believe that Hunter Biden should be investigated. They got him on two things, taxes and guns. The gun thing is because he's an addict. And he didn't disclose he was a drug addict and he shouldn't have had a gun. A court of appeals just issued a decision saying that's unconstitutional in another case. They said drug addicts can have guns. Now, frankly, I don't agree with the court of appeals. But if they're saying drug addicts can have guns, then why should Hunter Biden face a gun charge? That should be dismissed, even though I think ultimately drug addicts shouldn't have guns. The second thing, taxes. He had two $100,000 tax obligations in 2 years that he paid late. Roger Stone had several million. It is customary at that level to do that civilly. In other words, penalties, interest, and all that. They're going after Hunter Biden because he's the president's son. That's fine. All the special counsel thing now is, okay, we're going to open up and look at everything. That's fine. The fees he got for these companies he was involved in were not criminal. Joe Biden didn't get any of that. Donald Trump has gotten plenty of money from Russia and Saudi Arabia, and so has Jared Kushner. So sit back, and I'm not concerned about it. I think it elevates the status of the guy who's doing it anyway. I think he's an honest guy. And what I just said, I think, will ultimately be the judgment of the special counsel. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
When I was young, they just gave me the number when I was young.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As
Says Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Severe thunderstorm watch continues this evening for the potential of large hail and damaging wind gusts. Scattered evening storms, then clearing overnight, low in the low 60s. Sunny, pleasant, and mid-80s tomorrow, more storms possible Sunday. Much cooler and breezy, high only low 70s. And still some showers Monday. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Don't let me down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to talk very briefly about DeSantis. I can't believe this guy. Some new information has come out of Florida, new information about what he's doing to education down there. And I'm not talking now, there are all these disputes about the Don't Say Gay law and this, that, and the other thing. I'm talking about how he has, this guy is politically tone deaf, how he has essentially tried to take over the instruction of kids in grade school and high school. And I'm going to give you two examples. One of them is now they're being shown videos in a lot of their schools that denies climate science. That is clearly, in my view, at the impetus of some of the donors, especially in the energy industry. Why are you manipulating school curricula over that kind of an issue? Why aren't you encouraging kids, say, to be geologists, biologists, and let them look at science and make up their own minds? But why are you putting a political video out? The second one that really blew me away, and I'm indebted to Joy Reid on MSNBC for showing this thing. If any of you saw it, you know, it goes like this. And it's a right-wing guy who calls himself something university, whatever his name is. And he had these videos made, and this has to do with slavery. And what they have is, they have two adorable cartoon kids. Let's say, you know, Julie and Ken. I mean, I forget their names, but adorable little kids, grade school kids. And they travel back through time to interview famous people. I couldn't believe the one I saw, they interview Christopher Columbus. And he's a cartoon guy, too, on a ship. He has blue eyes, big flashing blue eyes. And he goes to them, well, kids, people say slavery is bad. Well, it's always existed. And I'll tell you, kids, it's a lot better being a slave than being killed. That's what it is. And I'm thinking, you know, it makes it sound like slavery was kind of a gentle indentured servitude, where you're sort of an apprentice. You train to be a baker, or you train to be something. You learn a skill, and everybody loves it. I could not believe it. And there's nothing in there about the way slaves were treated, including right up until 1865. They were beaten and whipped. They were raped. They were sometimes raped in front of their husbands. Their children were sold away from them. or a guy's wife could be sold away from him. He had to stand there and watch her being driven down the road, never to see her again. That's what slavery is. What the hell are they doing in Florida showing a video of two cartoon kids smiling and a smiling Christopher Columbus saying, well, kids, there's a lot worse than slavery. Being killed is a lot worse than slavery. I think, you know, DeSantis at one point, I thought really had a shot at least getting the nomination away from Trump. He was a moderate at one time. He was an associate of Paul Ryan's. They were allies. Paul Ryan, I disagree with him on a lot of things, but he's a moderate. DeSantis somehow, like a bull in a china shop, just goes, well, I've got to go the other way. And he has no judgment at all. He goes so far that people look on him as grotesque, kind of a Frankenstein. I mean, let's be blunt. I think there should be age-appropriate materials in schools. Do I think that the writings of the Marquis de Sade should be available in a grade school or high school library? No. His novel Justine? No. Do I think that virulently propaganda, anti-Semitic, anti-nativist, racial tracts should be available in grade school and high school libraries? No, of course not. It has to be age-appropriate. In college and in grad school, or in public libraries in general, you have whatever you want. It's not a violation of the First Amendment to say the kids in grade school should not have the writings of the Marquis de Sade. That said, what these characters are doing is totally turning the curriculum in grade schools and high schools slowly into propaganda on science, on slavery. I mean, you know, what, DeSantis, what are you doing? You could easily make the argument that I'm making, that things should be age appropriate without doing this crazy stuff. People will not vote for a crazy man, not for president. Although, as I say it, they did in 2016, very sadly. Going to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Just quickly here, Matt, talking about DeSantis. I think he was aiming his comments and what he's doing in Florida towards the Iowa voter. The last thing he done here, that's off the deep end there with the slavery thing. But I really think he was trying to go after the Iowa voter and win the Iowa primary. I don't want him president, but I'm thinking that's what he might be trying to do. So thanks, Matt. Bye.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think that all of this is politically calculated. All of it's politically motivated. And doing stuff like saying there's a 6-week limit on abortion. What about women who have life-threatening conditions, have an ectopic pregnancy, have sepsis? Even in Mississippi, for Pete's sake, it was 15 weeks. Nobody likes abortion. I don't want abortion. But if you consign women to pre-Roe butchery when their health and life is at stake, that's not right. That is unconstitutional itself. That's unconstitutional itself. This guy has absolutely no judgment. He appeared at a rally. He, by the way, fired his campaign manager a couple of days ago. Put in a new one, his chief of staff, who's never managed a campaign in his life. And he gets up in front of a crowd. He gets up in front of a crowd in Iowa the other day, and the whole crowd shouts, putting fingers, because he apparently eats pudding with his fingers. So they say, I don't know if he eats it or not. But, I mean, the point is, he shows up at one point in white go-go boots. I don't know, you remember that? I mean, you know, hey, look, guy, you're running for president. He immediately trashes Ukraine just because Trump trashed Ukraine. He follows Trump trying to be more extreme. People who don't want Trump don't want that either. I cannot believe the stupidity in the Republican Party right now. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Everybody out there, have a good weekend. And by the way, I want to thank you all very much. The sales of my two novels, China Code and Milwaukee Jihad, I really soared with your backing, and you'll see a lot of them, China Code, Milwaukee Jihad, lot of the history that I talk about in an action-packed, I think, thriller and easy to read. You'll enjoy it very much. Stand by for a great show. Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate, Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place on Monday.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.